Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart, and I'm so happy to welcome Charlie Herman, WNYC's business and culture editor, into the studio for the segment we call Charlie for the Culture. You've been busy because I see a lot of clips.
I have a lot that I want to share with you. Let's start with first.
Yeah.
Next week, starting next week, is a festival called Play On. It's happening at the Classic Stage Company. It's in conjunction with the Oregon Shakespeare Festival and the group Play On Shakespeare. And it's running from May 29th to June 30th. And it happens over about 5 weeks. There will be 39 staged readings with about 100 actors. The first question, have you ever been to a staged reading?
I don't think I have been to a staged reading.
I mean, they're really interesting because you sit usually in a room and there will be actors with music stands and they will have the play in front of them. And they are acting and they're doing everything involved, but they're not, you know, up on stage doing a sword battle or something like that. There may be actually a stage manager or a director on the side, you know, giving some of the cues of like what you're actually seeing. And they will be doing Shakespeare, which seems a little strange because, you know, he's been around for about 400 years. So
wow.
The reason why they're doing this, though, is that they're doing something really different. In this case, there are about 36 playwrights that were assigned through this group Play On Shakespeare, which is through the Oregon Shakespeare Festival originally, to more than half of the playwrights were women, more than half of them people of color, and they were asked to translate Shakespeare into contemporary English.
Yo, Petruchio.
No, not that. But that's the thing that's interesting. It's not about like putting it in slang or pop culture, but trying to really, they're interested in how do we make him more understandable was the idea. So I'm going to give an example of a soliloquy from the play Pericles. This was translated by the playwright Ellen McLaughlin and performed by Drew Shirley. So here is a soliloquy in the original Shakespearean language.
Why should this change of thoughts, the sad companion, dull-eyed melancholy, be my so used as guest as not an hour in the day's glorious walk or peaceful night? The tomb where grief should sleep can breed me quiet.
So that's Shakespeare's language.
Okay.
So now we're going to hear the translation.
Why does this melancholy flood my head? Why should it take up residence in me or follow like a dog on sunny walks and lie with me through the peaceful nights in bed when sorrow should be comforted in sleep?
So what you hear there is an attempt to, as you're listening, to understand as it's going past you. We talk a lot about this in radio sometimes, that you don't get the chance, like in a book, to stop and look and say, wait, I didn't get that. Let me stop. Let me look the word up. Let me make sure I really understand this, that the story just keeps on going. And so I talked to the executive director of Play On Shakespeare, Louis Douthit, and she said that she wanted to make the argument that Shakespeare's always being adapted and changed, that there are sections that are cut, that it's, you know, adapted and put in modern times, that people like to address the problems that they see in Shakespeare. So what she was interested in was the performance and how you hear it and how you understand it versus reading it. And, you know, she made this comment that you can understand the characters better and their motivations and why people do things that they do. And she said, at least, that when you take Shakespeare and you translate it into French, you don't translate it into 16th century French. You translate it into a language that people understand. So she was really, I kept saying, what is this? Is it an adaptation? And she said, it's a translation, that we looked at it line by line. And she had some particular rules in place, like, you know, do no harm was the first rule. So if there's a line that's no, my lord, you and I both understand that. We're not going to change that. But another rule was that they can't fix it, the play, that is. If they don't like how Taming of the Shrew treats women, if they don't like how Merchant of Venice treats people who are Jewish, too bad. Like, that's not what the goal of this. The goal is to try and make this more understandable and put it in language that, as much as you can, keep the iambic pentameter, keep the rhyming, keep the rhythm of each of the sentences. You know, of course, this has been criticized a lot. Many people feel that the whole point of Shakespeare, or they would argue the whole point is the language itself, and that you should keep it the way that it is. And she's arguing that, look, there is something to be gained by just understanding it and having it come to you, and you can follow the story, understand 80%, 90% of what's being said versus versus, I don't know if you've had the experience. I know I've had.
Yeah.
You go to Shakespeare and there are times you're like, wait, I really, if it weren't for great acting and everything else going on, I would have a difficult time understanding. And some will say, you know, exactly. That's when really good acting will actually overcome any specific comprehension of the words. But this is an experiment. They are doing these readings. They're going to be reading all of Shakespeare plays over these 5-week period at Classic Stage. And I just think it's a really interesting way to hear Shakespeare in a different way. And you can make your own decision whether or not you like it or not.
I think understanding it as a translation is really interesting.
Yeah.
Translating to modern speech. Right?
Exactly. And it's not LOL or
no, it's
yo.
Not slang or no. No, I understand.
And sometimes she said it could even be switching out, putting the adjective in a different place so you get it. Just little changes along the way. So I think it sounds like an interesting project. There, I'm sure, a lot of people who may have doubts about it and be skeptical. And she said there are many people in some of the productions and readings they've done who have expressed that and come out of it feeling a little less skeptical, and some who still are. I'm not going to please everybody, but an interesting way to approach Shakespeare 400 years. I mean, we're still talking about him and still exploring his stories and his ideas.
I'm going to see Much Ado About Nothing tomorrow in the park.
At the park.
Which I've seen one piece of the set, which has a Stacey Abrams 2020 banner on it.
So. Okay. So that is an adaptation there.
Adaptation. We'll see what happens. Okay. So what is going to close soon that we need to check out?
Well, we're sort of in the middle of it right now at the New York Philharmonic. They have, it's part of a 3-week series called Music of Conscience, and this is marking the end of their first season with the new music director, Jaap van Zweden, who, he is conducting these various different orchestral programs that look at how composers have responded to social and political movements. Mm. So in the first week, which is going on right now, they're looking at themes that were about tyrants, about works that are against tyrants. The first one is by Shostakovich. It's his chamber symphony. And he said that he wrote it after he visited Dresden and saw the destruction that happened after World War II. But he later said it was also a little bit about living under Stalin. So, of course, that's always an interesting question, just because a composer says that this is about something, that this is what this song or this work is about. I mean, do you hear that in the music? Do you hear like a struggle there? Like, what do you hear in the violins that happen right there? Would you know this if it weren't pointed out to you? These are things I think you can debate and think about, but this is at least what he said about the work. There's also going to be a performance of Beethoven's Eroica Symphony No. 3, and there's a very famous story about how he dedicated it to Napoleon, but when Napoleon then declared himself an emperor, that he scratched it out and he dedicated the work to the memory of a great man. So that is the first week that's going on right now. And then in the second part, which is tied into really the events that are going to start coming up about Stonewall in the month of June. Mm-hmm. I know you're doing some special programming on it. On May 30th and June 1st, in response to AIDS and this 50th anniversary of Stonewall, there will be Symphony No. 1 from 1990 by John Corigliano. And he wrote this work in response to seeing friends of his die from AIDS, colleagues die from AIDS. And he said that he saw the AIDS quilt and the panels. If people are familiar with this, each of the panel memorializes an individual who had died from the disease. And so he wanted to do the same thing with the symphony, where each of the different movements is tied to a musical friend, a friend of his who was a musician. This is from the second movement. Now, Corigliano said that this movement was dedicated to a friend who was in the music industry, who was also an amateur pianist, and he made it a tarantella, which is described as a southern Italian dance that gets played faster and faster and kind of leads to almost like an insanity. And this friend of his actually had some insanity that happened because of AIDS-related dementia. Wow. So sort of tying that music style into the individual. There will also be another benefit tied to this. Corigliano is going to be hosting a concert where there'll be music from composers who died shortly, whose lives were cut short because they died from AIDS. And so these are works that, you know, maybe we don't know, or people who could have gone on to do much more, but their lives were cut short. And then finally, in the third week, what we're going to get is a world premiere of David Lang's new opera, Prisoner of the State. And this is a co-commission by the New York Philharmonic and several other organizations around the world. And this is a fully staged opera, which retells the story of Beethoven's Fidelio. And this is a story about a man who is sent to jail unjustly, and his wife dresses up as a prison guard to go in and save her husband. The whole hall itself is going to be turned into a prison itself. They said there's going to be barbed wire and security cameras. And the musicians themselves on the stage at Geffen Hall, if you've been there, like, they themselves will become not just the players of the orchestra, but they will be prisoners themselves. And really trying to play up this theme of an overcrowded prison. And yes, I won't tell you the end of the story, but it asks these questions of who stays behind bars, who doesn't, why are people put behind bars, and who is allowed out, especially when it comes to political injustice. And I would say that this features the well-known bass baritone opera singer Eric Owens. Many people may know him. He will be playing the jailer.
You have given us a lot to think
about. There's a lot to think about, a lot to check out, and a lot of opportunities, too.
Charlie Herman, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. That's our show. Thanks for listening to all of it. You can join us every weekday at noon on WNYC. And in the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at All of It WNYC. All of It is produced by Megan Ryan, Rosie Guerin, Catherine Millsop, Ursula Summer, Simon Close, Jordan Laus, and Pilar Belendez-Deshay. Matt Mirando is our engineer. Luscious Jackson does our theme music. And special thanks to our weekly contributors, Charlie Herman, Kate Hines, Clemency Burton-Hill, Andy Lanzett, Jen Chung, Jen Carlson, Ben Yakis, Claire Lampin, Jake O, and the entire team at Gothamist. I'm Allison Stewart. Thank you so much for listening. Meet you back here next time.